May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn number 388. 388. Approach, my soul, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish there. Hymn 388.
Thank you. Our reading from God's Word this evening you'll find in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, and we'll read chapter 1 and the first 12 verses in chapter 2. The book of Ruth, chapter 1 and the first 12 verses in chapter 2. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, or that is pleasant. Call me Mara, or that is bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field, and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went, and came, and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Just leave the reading of God's word there, and maybe be given an understanding of what we have read, and be given a spirit now of real prayer. Oh, most holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity. Lord, we are thankful that once again we can gather, that once more as we assemble for worship, we can do so in peace and safety, and that we live in a land where thy people are not persecuted. Yet, Lord, may it not lead us to a complacent spirit. Lord, we gather this evening we gather dependent upon thee. we gather knowing that without thee we can do nothing. And yet may we each prove this evening that we can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Lord, we come as sinners. We come towards the close of this day, knowing that there is much that we have done wrong. Yet we do not come unto thee, our most holy God, in our own merit and clothed in our own righteousness. Help us to come humbly, pleading for mercy through the merits of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And Lord, if we are indeed at our wit's end this evening, it is of thy mercies that we are not consumed. If we have nothing to look to other than that, Lord, keep our eyes on that point. Lord, we know that as we come together this evening, there will be the sheep and the goats. There will be the saved and the lost. There will be those that are walking in light and those that are still in darkness. But we gather with that hope that no case is too hard, no one too far off, no one too dead. If that work of grace has not been begun in any, Lord, may it begin tonight. Remove the hard hearts of stone and put in that heart of flesh that responds to thy word, that trembles before thee. If there be those, Lord, tonight who are seeking thy face, who long to lay hold of thee, draw near, we pray, and grant that precious gift of faith so that they may be given those clear eyes to see through faith and not in their own merits they must be saved. And if there be those that are confused, Lord, make the crooked places straight, the rough places plain, so that people may understand clearly what thy word speaks. But as we come, we are dependent, and the people are dependent upon thee. And yet we are at the means of grace. We are at the place where thou hast promised to meet with thy people. If we are gathered together in thy name, we humbly believe that there are those here tonight who are gathered together in thy name. So may we know thy presence, Lord. May we feel it. And as we come tonight, we would pray for those that are not here this evening, those that are detained, the deacon unwell today, Lord, do increase his strength, if it be thy will, in his sickness, and as he may listen in, and others unable to be here tonight, listen in also, And others who have maybe worshipped elsewhere today and maybe listening this evening, may they truly hear to profit. Lord, thou alone knowest the purpose of our assembly. Nothing can contain thy word. Thy word is truth. May it be a lamp unto our feet and to many feet, and a light unto our paths. So we pray for this cause and congregation, and as they have those services tomorrow, Lord, do be with one expected to preach. And all those that may attend tomorrow, Lord, if we are spared to see another day, Lord, may there be indeed that purpose behind it. May it be indeed a special service in the true sense of the word, Lord, and not just another service. And as various ones come and preach here from week to week, may there be that flowing together. May there not be that continual repetition, but may there be the full word of God preached for the edification and good of the souls gathered in this place, so that none may be malnourished, but may be strengthened through the word of truth. We thank thee, Lord, that thou knowest what thy people need and when they need it. And may this place be truly the house of God to many. We give thanks that there were those this morning who felt led to worship with us from this village and the surrounding area. Oh Lord, that's what we need. May there yet be many more that are brought in too. Or may it be a burning concern and desire that our neighbours may be here, our work colleagues may be here, those we meet and pass in the street may be here. For Lord, when we truly understand, if we are thy people, what we have been saved from, Lord, we will fear and tremble. So grant unto us each those opportunities in our daily lives to be that right witness, to speak well of thee, not to be ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom our hopes of heaven depend. And Lord, as those Bibles may be taken from time to time from the chapel doorstep, Lord, may they be read. Lord, may there be those inquiries, not just to take a book, but in how to read the book. And may it truly do good. And may it cause many to question what it all means. And yet, Lord, there may be those here tonight who have read thy word thousands of times and still do not know thee. May none of us shelter in formality, tradition, and a form of religion without the power. But may we know the powerful work, the finished work of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ at Calvary, and that ongoing work seated at thy right hand. So Lord, build this place up, we truly pray, and be with the deacons and church, grant wisdom in all steps that they take. Pray for others that preach the word today. We pray for other causes of truth in other lands who may be beginning their Lord's day. Oh, may the word there be glorified and do good. Lord, for as the sun, as the earth rotates around the sun, as day turns to night, Lord, thy praises continue. Pray for those that are persecuted in other lands. Lord, how many thousands there are who worship in fear. Do draw near unto those brothers and sisters in Christ who have such fear as they gather. But Lord, maybe they do not have fear. Maybe they have utter, unspeakable peace that we know nothing of. Peace through a nearness to thee. Lord, so do be with those in great need throughout the corners of the earth, and those organisations that seek to do such good. But Lord, we would pray for our own land, Lord. We fear for the future. We look at the state of the developed West and the continual departing from common sense that is based upon thy word. The pursuit of the lies of evolution and gender ideology and various wrong relationships and all these things which confuse the minds of many. Oh, turn us again. Open the eyes of the blind, and not just in these things too, where we have desecrated thy holy day, where we have forsaken thee in so many paths, whether it be in the sanctity of marriage and life and all manner of things, Lord. Turn us again. Yet, Lord, we are not as bad as we could be. We know that the seeds of all sin are in the hearts of every one of us. And if we have been kept, Lord, may we ever be kept from thinking it is in and of ourselves. But it is only thy restraining hand upon us. So keep thy restraining hand upon our nation. Keep thy restraining hand upon us as individuals, so that we may not fall as so many do. Lord, may our cry be continually, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And as we gather tonight, Lord, may we gather with a purpose. Gather with a hunger. Gather with a unity. For Lord, thou knowest why we are here. As we bring thy word before the people now, Lord, may I be thy messenger with thy message and nothing else. Lord, thou knowest our thoughts, our fears, our concerns, and likewise all before us. May there be a purpose today. Lord, we may never know, but Lord, we seek to serve thee. So this evening, give us every word to speak, we beg. Help us, Lord, to bear one another's burdens and help the people before us. Give them ears to hear. Give them, Lord, something today. There is a token, Lord, for good. Some token of thy special love. Lord, it's thy work. But do work. Forgive all that we have asked wrongly, and that which we have forgotten to pray for this evening. May it have been prayed for by those before us, and our cry be a united cry, O Lord, our God. For we ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 577. 577. Is Jesus my Saviour, my husband and friend, and my elder brother who loves to the end? Then of him with pleasure forever I'll sing. He is my rich treasure, my God and my King. Hymn 577.
the Lord to help each one of us here once more this evening in the preaching and the hearing of the word. I'll ask you to turn to the book that we read, the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Ruth, chapter 1, and really three words in verse 16. Ruth, chapter 1, and these three words in the middle of verse 16. I will go. But I'll read verse 15, 16, and 17. And she, being this Naomi, said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. This account that we have recorded of Ruth is a sweet book to many of the Lord's people. It is, of course, in the case of Ruth and Boaz, a type of Christ we find, and the believer, a picture of how indeed a sinner may come to the Saviour. But there is also much in this book which is touching naturally. As we see the kindness of one person to another. But what really drew my thoughts to this verse this evening was the power and the work of the Lord in the life of Ruth, and that which made her willing to go in the way that she went, and that which made her to differ from Orpah. And to see that even in these days that Ruth lived, the Lord had a purpose. The Lord had a people to call. For it was in the time of the judges. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Much disobedience, much idolatry, much sin, much natural pleasure that Ruth would have been surrounded by. And yet, she said these words, I will go. I will go. Orpah here, she kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And there are those that have said, well, why did Naomi say to Ruth to return unto her gods? You know, I do not believe it was Naomi's intention to send Ruth back by her continual telling her to go back to her gods. I believe it was this. Naomi looked at those two. Naomi knew that there was a work of grace in the heart of Ruth. And Naomi drew it out of her by saying to her really this: can you really go back to your gods? Can you really forsake now the God in whom you have trusted? For Ruth clearly had a love to the one true God, because it is only that love that makes his people go in the way that he commands. So may the Lord help us to look through this portion this evening as it may open up to us. Naomi said at verse 15, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods." We each have our gods, with a little g. We each have those idols in our hearts. We each have those things that we really do not want to let go of. And it will vary in every circumstance and in every case. But there can be no rivals with our God. He will have the whole heart or none. Ruth had to walk in a way which was uncomfortable. Ruth had to leave that which she knew, and there were probably many there that she loved. She had to go, because she was drawn. There was a natural love to Naomi which made her go. But there would have probably been a natural love to Orpah too. When God speaks, when God works, his people will follow. Thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And may I just speak to you young people for a while this evening. There is much peer pressure in your lives. There is much peer pressure to follow the gods that everybody else is following, whether it be the God of self. That's all we hear about, isn't it? Selfie this and be the best you can be. And it's all about who you are, what you look like, what others think of you. That's a little God, yourself. Or it may be the little God of sport. It may be the little God of fashion. It may be the little God of music. It may be the little God of films. It may be the little God of books. It may be the little God of anything. And many of those things in their right place might not necessarily be wrong. But is it a rival to the one true God? And something you each need to think about in your lives as you may go through those stages where you have to make decisions about the future and where you may go. One question you should always ask yourselves if you pray and if you fear the Lord is this: will it bring me nearer to God or further away? If you have a step to take and there are two options and you do not know what to do, pray over it and ask the Lord to show you whether it will bring you nearer to him or further away. For we have, don't we, for our instruction, the account of the prodigal son. And that is to prove to us, in one regard, that it may be the Lord's will that we do depart from him, but we should never look to do it, because he can bring all his people back. But that prodigal son, he looked at the little gods of the world, and he wanted to go after them, wanted to pursue everything that he'd been restricted to do up till now. And do you know what he found? There was no value in them. That's what Ruth found. Nothing of substance there. Nothing lasting. That's what Solomon found, the wisest man that ever lived. At the end of his life, what did he say? Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. That prodigal son came back. But in the parable of the prodigal son, we often focus on that son that left his father's house. But dear friends, may we never forget about that prodigal son, really, that stayed in his father's house. That prodigal son that we could say, yes, he didn't run off, but he was far from his father. He did everything that was right. He looked the part. And yet, what do we see? Thy brother is come. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Dear friends, we may be kept from following the gods of this world. We may be kept, as it were, in our father's house, in chapel. Nothing changed in there. Still lost. Still lost. We can have all our religion in our heads, but if it hasn't gone down 18 inches into our heart, it's no good. It's no good. A head knowledge, although that is good, will not be saving unless it's gone into our heart. But I must not digress from where we are. Where we are following in this verse. Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And so as we consider now, for a while, the difference between Ruth and Orpah. Two characters. Two characters, which reminds us of that solemn warning we have in Matthew 24. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. So there were these two women. The same upbringing. The same background. Here again we see clearly, don't we, the work of free and sovereign grace. We see what we have over the title of the hymn that we have just sung. His love he fixed on me before time began, nor will he take from me the love he had then. Determined to save me, he bore all my guilt, and rather than lose me, his own blood he spilled. Ruth knew it. Orpah didn't. Do you tonight? Do you know Jesus as your Saviour, your husband, your friend? Your elder brother who loves to the end? Or are you an Orpah? It's only free grace that will change that heart. two distinct characters. We have it again in the doctrine of election, don't we, in the book of Romans. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. This is the way of the Lord. He has a chosen people. He has those he will call. He has those he will work in. You see it throughout Scripture from beginning to end. And you see it now. Do not blame God because he has chosen some and left others. Praise God that he has chosen any and not given us all what we deserve and swept us off the face of this planet years ago. We plead his mercy. That's what Ruth did. She looked by faith to her God because her God had called her. And dear friends, it is a remarkable change when the Lord works, isn't it? And I don't know if I have ever preached from it, but it was used greatly in my experience. That portion in Ezekiel chapter 37, where we read about the dry bones. Until the Lord works in your heart, that's what you are. Ezekiel had that vision, carried out in the Spirit of the Lord, set down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Oh, there's some dry bones here tonight. Not a scrap of life in them. Well, if that's the case, you'll be drifting off to sleep. You'll be unconcerned. You won't be questioning whether you're a Ruth or an Orpah, a Jacob or an Esau. But does it trouble you? Does it concern you? What God am I following? Have I been called? And have I said, I will go? It's only the work of the Spirit that will do it. It is, and it can only be, that will make his people willing to follow him. He said unto me, continuing in Ezekiel 37, Son of man, can these bones live? And he answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. But in that vision, what did the Lord do? He breathed life into those bones. Those bones came together. He put flesh on those bones. And so he will in your life too. If you are one of his people. That's what he did with Ruth. And that is what made her say, I will go. The Lord's people will follow him. And you say to me, well, it's not always the case, is it? What about the dying thief? That's the usual one, isn't it? He didn't follow the Lord in that way, with an outward profession. But I tell you something, he would have done if he lived another day. He would have done whatever the Lord had commanded. Why? Because he loved the Lord. Because he was a changed man. Because the Lord had worked in him. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Ruth said, I cannot leave thee. I cannot leave thy God. I cannot go in any other way. I am united together with thee through a common love. A love to the Lord. And maybe we should speak specifically, maybe there is one here tonight who has a pathway to walk in. Maybe not in a profession of faith. Maybe in another step in life. Maybe in an outward thing. And naturally your flesh shrinks from taking this step. From following something which the Lord has told you to do. naturally. Ruth here wasn't going to be easy for her. A couple of widows going back into a land she never knew, with no family round about her really, with no one to love her, no one to cherish her, no means of provision for her, and yet she was made willing to go. Made willing to go. Why? Because the Lord worked. Because the Lord was near her. The Lord comforted her. She had no other choice than to go. Because her heart was overwhelmed with what the Lord had done thus far in her life. And therefore, because of what the Lord had done, through faith, what he would do. And dear friends, that's the difference. That's the difference. When the gift of faith is given to the Lord's people, they don't use what the world would call common sense. They walk by faith and not by sight. That doesn't mean we abandon reason. We make use of the common sense that God has given us. But the Lord's people with that new heart, there is only one thing that is common sense. It's to follow what he orders. To follow his guidance in providence and in grace. To look and listen and watch the way the Lord works. And if you see the Lord working in your life, and you go against it, you better be very fearful. For he'll bring you back. If he will have you walking away, he'll make you walk in it. He will. I've had to prove it. And so may you. I never wanted to stand in a place like this and preach. I ran away from it for many years. The Lord wouldn't have it. The Lord brought me here. Painful it was, and painful it will be for you too, if you disobey what the Lord says to you. I will go. As I said, it's that faith that changes, isn't it? It makes us that new creature, as Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians. That new creature, that real difference within. We see it in Ruth. We clearly do. But dear friends, sometimes that following that I will go can be costly. Costly for what the flesh likes. That's what the disciples had to prove, wasn't it? The cost of it all. And it was so, wasn't it? With the case, when we read of those various parables, and I can't find the verse I'm looking for. Oh, there we are. There were great multitudes turned to him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, that doesn't mean hate as in despise, that means in love them above the Lord. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. What a solemn thought that is for us this evening. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. These aren't my words. These are the words of Jesus. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That was Orpah. That was Orpah. Is it you? Or has the Lord made you willing like Ruth? Oh Lord, I don't know what the future may be, you may say. Oh Lord, I tremble at the step before me. Oh Lord, how can I give this up? Give that up, give the other up. But Lord, thou art greater than my fears. Lord, thou hast been with me so far in my life. Thou hast promised to be with me still. That's how Ruth went. Therefore, I will go. But one other thing that so struck me in these verses was the finality of Ruth's decision. I will go. So I might go. It's not leave it a while and once we've sorted this out and the other out. And once, Naomi, you've found out where we're going to live and how we're going to be provided for, then we'll go. No, no, no. No. I will go. I will go. And how did she go? She went in the way that the psalmist went. In Psalm 71. I will go. How? In the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. That's what Ruth was saying, wasn't it? O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Maybe it wasn't right from her youth, but she had been taught. And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. That's what Ruth did, wasn't it? She declared the Lord's wondrous works. Thy people shall be my people. Yes, she had that natural affection to Naomi, and she wanted to be with her. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. She wanted to be near her. But what was the chief thing? It's that last part of verse 16, isn't it? And thy God, my God. You may have many fears this evening. But can you say, my God? Because if you can say, and thy God, my God, you can plead those promises, can't you? My God shall supply all your need according to the riches which are in Christ Jesus. My God is the rock of my refuge, or whatever, however it goes in one of the Psalms. He has been a rock. My God is a rock. That's the God you're trusting in. That's the God you're building upon. That's the God you're looking to in the future. And dear friends, it is a sweet place to be brought to. To be very, very uncertain. But to put our trust in the Lord. I know there are those that have proved it here. When everything should be trouble, when everything should be distress, when we should feel all is against us. Yet faith is given to trust and put our faith in him, to lean upon him and leave it with him. Thou art my God, to say therefore, I trust in what thou wilt bring. So we have in this story, in this account, three types, don't we? We have Naomi who knew the Lord, had wandered away, but returned. We have Orpah who looked, but actually the little gods of this world were too great in her heart. And then we have Ruth, don't we? Whose heart had been changed. Therefore, she said, I will go. And it wasn't just for a year, a few months. Where thou diest, will I die. When we see through faith the riches that are to be found in Christ Jesus, all else will pale into insignificance. It's the only way the Lord's people can take up their cross and follow him. Because generally speaking, we are rational creatures. We make decisions every day. Shall we do this? Shall we do that? We put them in the balances of our mind, and which way seems most favourable, and we choose which is most favourable to us. And we need to speak wisely. We can't just choose Christ or reject him. But there will be in the heart of the believer an attraction. There will be a value. There will be something which makes us say, he is precious. He is precious. Therefore, I can forsake my family. Therefore, I can abandon my old ways. Therefore, I will go. Because I see that Jesus is the one thing needful. And that I, without him, perish must. You say, though, oh, I'm so fearful. I believe the Lord has spoken, you may say. But how can I go in the way the Lord has told me? Dear friends, you're not alone. It's exactly how Moses felt, wasn't it? What do we read of Moses when the Lord called unto him from that burning bush? The Lord spoke to him. Behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me. I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And there was Moses saying to God, who am I? I've been 40 years just looking after sheep, chasing sheep around the wilderness. Who am I to go and speak to Pharaoh and say, let all these people, all these slaves go and they'll just follow? Who am I, Lord? We're nothing in and of ourselves. But what did the Lord say to Moses, and what will he say to you? Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a promise, a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. But Moses wasn't done there with his excuses, was he? No. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what's his name? What shall I say unto them? Another excuse. How many excuses have you racked up when the Lord has spoken to you? Moses racked up plenty. But we throw no stones at Moses. Moses again said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. The Lord spoke again, gave him another token, gave him something else to look to, gave him the rod. Now, Moses might not have given you a rod that you can turn into a serpent, but has he given you another word, another token, another promise? And still you've said, no, no. That's what Moses said again, wasn't it? Moses said again, oh Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. I can't speak. I can't go and talk before Pharaoh. I can't do what thou hast ordered me to do. But the Lord said, what did he say? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Moses gave a reason. The Lord graciously answered. The Lord gave a reason. Moses questioned again. The Lord graciously answered. And so it went on, until that command of the Lord, now therefore go. But Moses had one more excuse, didn't he? He said, no, Lord. He said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Then Moses The Lord had graciously answered him, given him another token, spoken so clearly to him, "Now therefore go." Then he refused. Then the Lord was angry. There's a lesson there for us, dear friends. There's a lesson. May we... Do you want to see the anger of the Lord against you? Ruth didn't. Ruth had seen what the Lord had, how the Lord had afflicted Naomi. How, through going against what God had commanded and going into the land of idols, had brought her into great difficulty. Is that what we want? Oh, may the Lord give us grace and faith to go in the way that he has commanded. My thoughts go to that beautiful hymn, number 329. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. E'en down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. He cares for his people, dear friends. He cares for his lambs. As a shepherd looks over his flock, he cares for you. Lean on him. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavour to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. So as we conclude this evening, I don't know where any of you are tonight. And I do not normally say this, but I do feel the Lord had given me this as a word for someone. May not be anybody here. May not be anybody listening in tonight. It may be somebody that may listen to this sermon in many years to come. But I do feel, and I don't often feel like this, that this was a direct message from the Lord tonight. Ruth said, "I will go." Is that what you will say? Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Pocock will preach at our special services tomorrow at 3 o'clock and 6:15. Tea provided and collections for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. And Mr. Fred Ince will preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 1033, 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. Hymn 1033.
Thank you.
Almighty Lord God, we are like wandering sheep who will, left to ourselves, go any way other than the way that thou hast ordered for us. Lord, we look to so much and turn away from Jesus. And yet may we, as we have been singing, as we journey on in this life, as we go on, as we say, I will go and go on, may his promise assure thee, when troubles assail, though hell should oppose thee, thy faith cannot fail. Oh, may it be so, Lord, for each dear soul here tonight, that their faith will not falter and fail in the journey of life, and that we may go onwards to our heavenly home. Lord, we beg, seal thy word by thy Spirit. May we not just go home and forget about it and be consumed on a bank holiday Monday. But may it be like an arrow in our heart. Lord, may it be nailed home. Lord, if thou shalt work, who shall let it? Who shall hinder it? Work on, we pray. Be with each one here as we leave them now, Lord. Bless them in their souls. Help them to grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, personally and as a church. And work still and supply all needs. Forgive all that I have spoken wrongly in my weakness today. Lord, may it be removed from the minds of the people. And thy word alone remain. For thy word is truth. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each now and forevermore. Amen.